Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. We hung out in person recently.
Yay! It was so fun.
We were in Chicago. We're going to talk about it in our Patreon bonus set, but we had a great time. Thank you all so much in the Facebook group for giving us excellent suggestions on what to do in Chicago. It was amazing, but it was so nice to give you a hug. I hugged the shit out of you.
Yeah, I hugged the shit out of you. I was so happy to see you. It was everything I dreamed it would be.
All that and more. If you're new to us, that intro was really awkward. But if you're new to us, we are the podcast that talks about creeps from the past to the present. And we end each episode with someone who is not a creep. So you don't leave completely feeling defeated about the state of the world, which is tough nowadays. But we aim to do that. We're always getting new listeners. Thank you so much for joining us. And I just want to give a shout out. Let me just say this first. You can follow us on social media and And just to start off, follow us on social media. We do have a basic Facebook page. We only use it when people are there to give us a hard time about our bad language. We use salty language on this program, so
Fuck, get used to it.
Yep. Change to something else if that bothers you. We have a private Facebook group. That's where all the cohorts say, hang out. I would just say that we do have a few questions you need to answer before you come in, because we are keeping it as a fun place and not for lurkers or dabblers in Facebook pages. We are on Twitter at CreepPod, because somebody had What a Creep on Twitter for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram, What a Creep Podcast. And we have an old-timey email, whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. If you would like some stickers, please reach out. We're happy to send those out to you. We understand if money's tight and that's your way of showing your love for the show. Happy to send you stickers or send us suggestions there. We love suggestions for creeps and non-creeps in all of those places I just mentioned. And also, very quickly, I want to thank two people for just joining our Patreon page. That would be Emma, and I believe it's pronounced Asia or Asia. Thank you both so much for joining the Patreon page. And we have an announcement. We are putting season one of our show behind the Patreon wall. So that's even more shit you can enjoy by joining the Patreon group. And I also want to give a shout out to people who gave us 5-star reviews on iTunes. That would be Flora, Santa Claus in Indiana. I was just in Indiana. It's a hell of a drive, just so you know. And Junebug, $1234. Thank you so much for leaving 5-star reviews.
Thank you. Thank you. It really offsets the reviews we get for people who say we're a couple of Karens who just drink Chardonnay, which we don't, because Margot thinks it tastes like gasoline.
It does. It's a natural fact.
I also want to give a shout out to our website, whatacreeppodcast.com. Everything you ever wanted to know about our show, links to all of our episodes, except for, I guess, season one, which will be behind Patreon. And then the newsletter. Mm-hmm. Also, if you sign up for Patreon, you get a newsletter. It is coming on Monday. So check your inboxes.
And we also put out bonus episodes there. We're even saltier on our Patreon episodes.
So
they're super
salty.
Fun. Anyway, Sonia. Yeah. People say we front load the show a lot with housekeeping.
Sorry.
But, you know, we got shit to say and then we go right into the show. Are you ready to get into the show now? Are you ready to rock?
I'm ready.
What do you know about Alex Kelly?
Just a little bit. I don't even want to spoil where the story's going to go. So I'll just say I know of him.
Alex Kelly was considered a golden boy in his hometown of Darien, Connecticut. Born to a wealthy family and growing up in a peak New England fancy pants neighborhood, meaning white and rich, he was good looking, athletic, and popular. All of that changed in February of 1986 when the high school senior was arrested for suspicion of 2 rapes of girls in the span of 4 days. The Darien police and district attorney decided to combine the charges and try him for both, which worried his family, who felt that he was being railroaded. So Alex decided to take off for parts unknown rather than face the consequences. 9 years later, he was caught and brought back to trial. His story is batshit insane and remains so to this day. Wait till you find out what he's doing now, Sonia.
I can't wait.
He was dubbed the preppy rapist by the media, much like Robert Chambers in 1986 was dubbed the preppy killer for killing Jennifer Levin. The media works overtime to make white men likable, just so you know.
Yes, please go back to our Ted Bundy episode for thoughts about that.
Yes. My prime sources are Alex Kelly, the Wikipedia page, WAMC Northeast Public Radio did a story about him that was excellent, Vanity Fair Confidential, the best thing to stream on Amazon, worth every penny, just so y'all
know. Wait, what's it called?
Vanity Fair Confidential.
All right, writing it down.
I have the link in the show notes, too. The Daily Beast, the Associated Press, that still exists, thank God. New York Times, People Magazine. We love People Magazine.
People Magazine, the best.
And also a show you could catch called Dominic Dunn, Power, Privilege, and Justice. There's also an ABC News segment from, I believe it's around 2008. And no, I'm sorry, it was earlier than that. It was when Alex was brought back. And it's on YouTube. You can find clips of it. I didn't put in the show notes. I might post them in the Facebook group. But I'll explain why it enrages me. Are you ready to rock?
I'm ready.
Alex Kelly was born May 8th, 1967. May 8th, also the birthday of Alex Van Halen, the drummer for Van Halen. Sorry, Alex.
Sorry to you, Alex Van Halen.
He's a Taurus. His parents were Melanie, who was a travel agent when that was a thing. And dad, Joe, was a plumber. Remember Joe the plumber?
Joe the plumber. Not that Joe the plumber, I hope.
From 2016's election. Yes, he was quite the political thinker. Their careers earned them enough money to live in Darien, Connecticut. It's a town that's 1 hour to the east of New York, New York City, I mean, that has an average household yearly income of $200,000 per year. That's the average.
Oh, damn.
The kind of place where students have better cars than the teachers, and most people have summer homes. I went to high school in Ridgewood, New Jersey, and it's the same demographic. Some of the kids are nice, but most are entitled assholes.
Ugh.
Alex was 5'9", good looking in a bland way, and and from a loving home-ish. He was a high school wrestling star and incredibly popular in his town. Supposedly, everybody loved Alex. When I tried to line up why he was a senior in high school when he was 19 years old, that's when I found out he had a past. And I'm not shaming anybody who gets held back or whatever. I just was curious. It turns out that Alex, in 1983, he and his buddies were into drugs and decided to go on a crime spree and burgled their neighbors' homes.
Oh.
They would sneak into their homes and take money, jewelry, and silverware, take the train to the city, New York City, where they would take the loot to pawn shops and use the money to buy drugs and bring it back to Connecticut.
Whoa, what was their drug of choice?
You know, I don't know. They just say drugs. I'm going to say cocaine.
I would 100%
for 83?
Guess cocaine.
Yeah, that's before crack. Yeah, that's crack is like just a few years later. Eventually, they all got caught, and Alex was sentenced to 13 months to a juvenile detention center. After a few months, he was released on good behavior. And it was he went back to school and had a renewed passion for school and athletics. He was on the honor roll for the first time, so his parents thought he had turned a corner. I want to say in this story, I'm going to name two people who were children when they were assaulted. But in the last 20 years or so, they have been saying their names in the media. That's the only reason why we normally don't.
Right.
Trigger warning, sexual assault. In February 1986, Adrian Back was at a party in Darien. She was 16 years old and was worried she was going to break her curfew. Her dad said she had to be home by 11:30, and it was like 11:25. Alex offered her a ride home. They sort of knew each other, and she was aware that he had a past, but she was worried she was going to get into trouble for coming home late, so she got into his Jeep. Alex also had a girlfriend who was popular, so she thought she was safe. A few blocks from her house, Alex pulled over. shut off the car and started pinning on top of her and kissing her. She tried to fight him off, but I'm going to say this a few times. He's a wrestler, a champion wrestler. He managed to drag her to the back seat, grabbed her by the throat and dragged her to the back seat and raped her. When he was done, he said, "If you tell anyone about this, I will kill you." She gets home and completely freaked out. Her sister checks in on her, and that's when she found out that Adrian was raped. And so they tell the parents what happened, and the parents take them straight to the hospital. The doctors perform a rape kit on her. They take photos of her injuries, and the police drop by. They ask her if she wants to file charges. Once again, this is 1986, and she's 16 years old. It was very different at the time. There was a lot of like fear and shame to being sexually assaulted.
Yes.
So her parents said, "Why don't you think about it for a few days?" You know, and she's like, "Okay." Exactly 3 days later, 17-year-old Hillary Buchanan met Alex at a party, and he offered her a lift home. Didn't know what happened before to Adrian. And Adrian feels a ton of guilt about this, which she shouldn't. She didn't do anything wrong.
No, she didn't do anything wrong. And she had to take care of herself. Yeah. And she is not responsible for this fucking creep's behavior.
Yeah. In the same MO, he raped her and then told her that if she said anything to anybody, he would kill her. Hillary did go to the police afterwards. Wanted to press charges. She's like, "Take the pictures, do what you got to do. You know, get this asshole." He was arrested on his way to wrestling practice, or to a wrestling match, excuse me. He was, by the way, the top of the league. He was the champion.
Mm-hmm.
He was more annoyed that he was going to miss his match than about being charged. This guy is so fucking entitled, you guys. The district attorney decided they were going to combine the two cases. He was going to be charged with rape, kidnapping, and by the way, he had drugs on him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alex's parents and his attorney decide this was unfair, that he was being bullied and railroaded.
Yes, he's the victim.
He is. So they're just about to go to trial in February of 1987. Alex just takes off and disappears. He would become a fugitive of justice for the next 9 years. Can you hear the siren in the background?
They're coming for you.
Yes. In America, his case was featured frequently on shows like Unsolved Mysteries and America's Most Wanted. The case is written about often, but this is pre-social media. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of get away with anything, anywhere. And he just sort of takes off. And his parents, by the way, for years say they have no idea where he is.
Right. I'm sure his mom, the travel agent, didn't
yes,
help
exactly.
him at all.
Oh, and I didn't mention he had a trust fund of $500,000 at the time. That's 1986 dollars that he has. Yeah. 87, excuse me. So he's got some cash on him. You will be shocked to find out that during this time, Alex was bumming around Europe and was completely supported by his parents.
Not surprised.
Yes. Finally, the FBI has an order to inspect the Kelly's home in Darien in January of 1995. That's how much time has gone by. That's where they find out that the parents have been writing and visiting their son on ski trips in Europe.
For fuck's sake.
Alex is extradited from Zurich, Switzerland. I've been to Zurich. It's one of the most expensive cities in the fucking world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's some youth hostel.
Right.
In Praha at the time. Like He's in Zurich.
He's living large. While on the run.
He's extradited, brought to America, and he's got to come back and face the music. Even though he took off for all of those years, going for about 9 years, he is given $1 million bail and goes to community college.
What?
While the
fuck?
City prepares his trial for rape and kidnapping.
By the way, this would only happen to a white man.
That's it.
The idea that like this person was literally on the run for like 9 years and they're still like, I'm sure he won't do it again.
Yeah. Well, he's got to go to school, Sonia.
Yeah, he has to. His potential.
ABC News had a scoop. We were talking about scoops. They had a
scoop.
Hey, chief, I got a scoop for you.
What a scoop.
they were allowed to interview the family of Alex Kelly and Alex Kelly himself and give their side of the story before the trial. And you're going to find out, Sonia, you know, they were shocked that he was charged with anything. And he only went on the run because he was scared. He was scared about charges being pressed on him. And he claims that he took a series of menial jobs in Europe.
Sure.
For all those years in order to support himself. Once again, guys, he was found at a ski resort in Zurich.
Fuck these people.
And he has, when he talks, he's so smarmy and ridiculous. And his parents are just, I'm sorry, assholes. It's unbelievable the privilege that's going on here. And nobody, and ABC News doesn't push back at all. They're just letting them say whatever the fuck they want.
Of course.
Surprisingly, their defense is that Alex had sex with these women consensually and that he was the real victim.
Yes, this happens all the time. Fuck off. Such bullshit.
Back then, and this is not that long ago, but there was a term used called date rape that was mm-hmm. used, you know, we would say acquaintance rape now or domestic abuse now. Mm-hmm. It's when you know a person and then they rape you. And the word date is attached to it because the thinking is like, well, it's not like the guy dragged her down a, you know, an alleyway and put a knife to her throat. So maybe it's a,
yes.
Maybe it's just sort of a weird gray area. It's something that Whoopi Goldberg would call rape rape. There's rape rape, which she used to describe rapists. Oh, and then there's date rape, which she used to describe Roman Polanski. She's very problematic. Let's just be clear.
Yeah.
This is the term that is used. And second big surprise, Alex Kelly's lawyer, Thomas Puccio, claimed that the rape victims were liars, and he said that to the media, who didn't want to admit to their parents they were no longer virgins because of Alex. They were drunk, they flirted with him, and they also wanted drugs from Alex, which is why they were alone with him.
These things did not happen. I don't believe it's... Oh,
of course not. Puccio is a huge asshole.
Yeah.
The first trial ends in a mistrial because some of the jurors could not fathom how Alex overpowered these girls. And there was a big thing about how did he drag the girl to the back seat, Adrian, to the back seat of a Jeep? Like, how did that happen? I'm like, he's a fucking wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, he's 19. He's very strong and he wrestles.
And we don't teach girls how to defend themselves.
No, we don't. And she was terrified. And she has photos with like choking around her neck and all this crap.
Oh, my God.
The second time there was going to be a trial in 1998, Alex accepted a plea deal instead of a trial. Here was the deal. He was given 16 years for the first assault and 10 years for the second assault, which he served concurrently, so he could be eligible for parole in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
At least he's put away. Right around this time, five other women came forward to tell their story about being raped by Alex when they were in high school.
There's always more,
you guys. He's never been charged for those, so I don't have names to give you. But there's a woman who wrote a book about the case and said these women just came up to her and very similar stories. I know this community so well, and everything has to protect boys there. It's always mm-hmm. about protecting them over everybody else, and it's so infuriating.
And we could say, like, it's a different time, but the truth, it hasn't changed.
Not really.
It's still a thing. It's bullshit, and we've talked about this when we talked about, like, Bill Cosby and stuff, like... I don't know why there's this segment of population that thinks women love to file false rape claims. I'm like, this is not a thing. Women don't want this.
Think about this. 1986, middle of the night, your daughter was raped. So you go as a family, by the way, to the hospital. She goes through the rape kit process. Then she's visited by the police. They take pictures of her. I mean, do you think this is fun for people?
Nobody wants the sweet, sweet rape fame.
No one.
As we have talked about on other episodes.
It's fucking infuriating.
And yes, it makes me insanely angry.
Well, if you want to know if Alex has changed at all, let's fast forward to March 3rd, 2005. when he was on up, he was up for parole for good behavior. Adrian Hillary showed up to say what the effects of their assaults had been on their lives, which was, you know, it was pretty terrible. They were,
yeah,
they were scared when he was on the run too. And
for sure, he threatened to kill them.
Yes. Alex told the parole board that, and they have film of this, and you can watch it if you want, but he's like, oh my God, I was so crazy then. Oh, I just hurt people. I didn't even know. He admits it. He admits it.
Mm-hmm.
He also says, one, that his life was on the run was very hard on him. It was not as luxurious as people said. He also said that he had rough jobs along the way, and he always lived in fear of being caught.
Oh, that must have been really hard.
He then chalked it up to youthful arrogance, and that at the time he was selfish, hyper-competitive, and aggressive. He then concludes by saying, I finally learned the world is bigger than me. You tell me what woman or person of color can say that sentence and get away with shit.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody. The brilliant thing here is the parole board denied his parole. Like I said, it was televised. Alex looked surprised, and then he got angry and wouldn't get out of his chair and said, why did I come here? This was just a big waste of time.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Ugh. So he was let out in 2007 and is a registered sex offender in Connecticut. You can look it up for yourselves. What's he doing now, you ask? Why, Alex went to work as a skydiving instructor. He's into thrills like skiing and all that parasailing, all that crap.
Huh.
In 2015, he was applying to be able to use a new airfield for his own business. And the business press in Connecticut were like, oh, that asshole? That Alex Kelly? He's running a company now? He worked his way up from a few different companies and is now a master instructor. Sometimes he has people strapped to him as they are jumping. None knew that he was a convicted rapist that was attached to them. Not everyone hated Alex, and a couple gave him good references to the media. One woman said her son worked with Alex for years, and she thought he was a good role model for him. Another friend said he had done everything in his power to turn his life around, and he deserved a chance just about as anybody else would. Mm. When asked by one of his employers why they even hired him, they said, we felt he had done the crime and the time. Okay.
All right.
He jumped in tandem with men. Once again, that's when you're strapped to somebody.
Yeah.
But with women, he did say he chose to be a videographer for women. So he didn't have women strapped to him.
Interesting.
Yeah. But some women, when they found out who he was, were rather shocked that they were in a plane with a convicted rapist. And would rather have been told that.
I don't want to jump out of a plane. Well, first of all, I don't want to jump out of
Never.
A plane. Second, I definitely don't want to jump out of a plane with a convicted rapist.
Being enclosed in that environment, like, I'm already freaked out.
No.
Alex rose through the ranks at different clubs. And while he was considered an excellent instructor, he was also erratic to work with. Shock.
Hmm.
For example, there was the time he once punched a skydiver who tried to adjust his rig.
Don't touch my rig, man.
Another one said Alex grabbed his genitals from behind.
That's assault.
That is assault. That is freaking assault.
Yeah.
Alex said he was upset at a pilot once because he thought that the guy was not authorized to use the club's airplane. So Alex threatened to beat him up and pull him out of the cockpit. Once again, he's a wrestler and he drags people. In 2016, he tried to invest in his own airport business. And this is when he started giving interviews to the business press. And he was fuming that he was being discriminated for his past. He would go to FAA meetings and say, what am I supposed to do? Go climb under a rock? I wouldn't mind that, but okay.
I'm totally fine with that. I'm sorry that there are consequences for your actions. That must be terrible.
Yeah. Finally, the last thing I have on him is that in 2018, he had his lease expired from the Bennington Airport, which is in Vermont. It was terminated over safety violations. He is still a registered sex offender. He's still registered in the state of Connecticut. And that is our creep this week. Alex Kelly.
Dude, good job, Margo. What a fucking asshole.
Right?
So fucking entitled.
Yeah.
I hate this shit.
The preppy rapist, Sonia.
He has so much potential.
He does have potential, though.
I know, right? I'm like, come on, you guys. Just let's all forgive and forget. Fuck that guy. What a piece of shit.
Yep.
He's trash. I'm feeling particularly annoyed because my not a creep suffered at the hands of someone who is kind of Alex Kelly-like. Mm-hmm. So our not a creep is Chanel Miller. And if you don't know who she is, she has written a book called Know My Name. And she also created an animated short film called I Am With You. You can go to Chanel Miller. It's Chanel-Miller.com. And you can see the short film for free. But on January 17th, 2015, Chanel was going to a fraternity party with her sister at Stanford University. And, you know, she drank and was at the party and having a good time. And later that night, a couple of Stanford graduate students found her like passed out lying behind a dumpster. And another student, this man named his 19-year-old Brock Turner, was raping her. Like, she was passed out and he was raping her. And these two students pulled him off of her and held him for the police. It turned out like Chanel Miller was unconscious. Her blood alcohol level was 0.22.
Jesus.
That's really high.
Oh my God. Yeah, you can't give consent under those conditions.
No, because she was passed out. There was no consent. He raped her and he tried to flee, like I said, and these two students grabbed him and like held him until police arrived. He was arrested and he was indicted on 5 felony sexual assault charges, and he pleaded not guilty because he says she consented. And it was just another one of those white guy potential cases, right? So mm-hmm. like Brock Turner's like, he's a champion swimmer and he's such a good student and he's obviously not capable of this sort of thing. And Chanel was then known as Emily Doe. And she was just this quote unquote, like drunk girl at the party. And like her sexual history was admitted into court and like her relationship statuses. And did she do a lot of partying in college? She was asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. So eventually, like, he's convicted and he gets a whopping 6 months in prison. He served 3 months for raping her. When he was sentenced, Chanel, and she, by the way, she was still Emily Doe at this point. I'm only using her name because she eventually wrote a book and released her name. But she gave a victim impact statement, and we're going to link to it in the show notes if you want to read it, because it's really, really powerful. She read a statement in court, and it was reprinted on BuzzFeed, and it was read 11 million times within 4 days. It is really, really powerful. And a couple of years later, she decided to write a book. And it's called Know My Name. I honestly, like, I have the book on my iPad and I can't even bring myself to read it. And I know I should read it because I just know it's going to upset me.
Right.
I'm going to read it someday. But this, it's a really, really great book. I have, many people have recommended it to me. It won the National Book Critics Circle Award for autobiographies. It was named one of the top 10 books by the Washington Post, the New York Times.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It won the Dayton Literary Peace Prize as a nonfiction book. She's credited with really sparking national discussion about how we treat victims of sexual assault, how we talk about these cases, and the victims of sexual assault, specifically on like college campuses. And in the court system, she was listed as an influential person in Time Magazine's Top People of the Year 2019. And she's done all kinds of interviews about her book. And I know like her book is like, it's really helping people. And she said that she felt she needed to speak out after all these women were testifying at Harvey Weinstein's trial. And mm-hmm. then by Christine Blasey Ford, Blasey Ford, sorry, who testified against, I can't even believe I have to say his fucking gross name, Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Fuck Brett Kavanaugh, by the way.
He has COVID.
Oh, so sad. Fuck him. I hate Brett Kavanaugh. I hate him. He has one of the most punchable faces I've ever seen in my fucking life. Like, I hate his guts. Anyway, she was very inspired by Christine Blasey Ford, and that's why she wrote her book. And she really wants, she put it out there. She's telling, this is really hard. We're asking we're asking people who are victims of something so fucking terrible to, like, expose themselves and share the most awful thing that's ever happened to them. And in public.
There's this weird kind of shame to it. And it's like, I was once robbed at gunpoint when I was a teenager.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But no one would ever said to me, like, well, what did you do? You know, like, how did you bring this upon yourself? What were you wearing? How come?
Exactly.
Why did they pick you? Like, it never happens. But with this kind of a crime, people do. They make excuses to make it easier for themselves. And it's super fucked up. And Brock Turner's dad, when he wrote a letter to the judge, when they were beginning sentencing, his dad was like, you know, he used to love steak, and I offered to cook him a steak recently. He couldn't eat it. I mean, this kid suffered. He really did that.
He suffered. He can't eat. It's really hard for him. Like, and we've talked about this before, like, how often men are judged on their potential. And Brock Turner was such an example of that. It was, should we really ruin this man's life over something he did? And it's like, yeah, because his fucking actions have consequences. And this is bullshit. He raped this woman. She will suffer this for the rest of her life. She has horrible panic attacks.
Yeah.
Like, it's awful what he did. And, like, it's awful that we as a society, like, kind of force these women to, like, relive something so awful in a public way, just so that we can get some sort of understanding about what happened. You know, it's just, it's fucking bullshit. And I just think Chanel Miller's so brave, and she's such a amazing writer. And I have read her impact statement, and it's a punch in the gut, but I think it's super important. And I think we'll link to it in the show notes. I also want to say the animated short film she did, I Am With You, is really great. Like I said, it's for free on her website. And she also did a mural that's in the Asian Art Museum here in San Francisco. And it's like these three vignettes, and it's like cartoons, and they have the phrases like I was, I am, and I will be on them. And she just seems like a really good person who is trying to take something really shitty that happened to her and use it for good and, like, help other people. Like, she does a lot of public speaking tours. And once again, like, we're talking about, like, the worst thing that's ever happened to her, and she's talking about it and hoping to help other people, especially, like, victims of sexual assault on college campuses, where shit like this happens all the time. And these men don't suffer any consequences at all. And sometimes it's even buried. So that's our Not a Creep, Chanel Miller. And I do want to say that the judge who gave that lenient sentence, Aaron Perskye, I believe is how you pronounce it, he was recalled 2 years later.
Excellent news.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Fuck him.
Yeah, but she's awesome. And I'm going to send you all these so you can put them in the show notes, because it's really good stuff.
Well, that's our episode this week. And if you like the sound of our voices, and my God, 99% of you do.
I hope.
We hope. We also co-host a show called Dorking Out, where we dork out about movies. And Sonia, what are we covering next?
We're going to do Practical Magic. This was a request from one of our listeners. I can't wait to watch it. We're getting ready for Scary Movie Month, so I feel like this is a good one. I want to watch a movie about witches.
We also should let people know about F This Movie. They have their scary movies all lined up there.
Oh,
if you're interested in horror movies. And please follow us on all the social media places. And we love it when you use the Annie Potts GIF. We got one from Ghostbusters when you have an idea for a creep or a non-creep. And once again, we've said this before, we'll say it again. Finding the non-creep sometimes is really challenging. I mean, today it was pretty obvious, but sometimes we do have a hard time. And we're interested in different parts of the globe where all the creeps exist, because we're here in America, but we have a lot of UK fans and French fans and Australians. And please tell us about your creeps. We'll definitely cover those too.
Yes.
And Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com and The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. And where can people find you, Margo?
You can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fitchick, mostly for Twitter and Instagram. My site is brooklynfitchick.com. And in the meantime, everybody, stay safe, enjoy the fall, and don't be a creep.
Creep!
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.